What does it mean to be rich? Maybe it's less about reaching a magic number and more about discovering the magic in life. At Edward Jones, our dedicated financial advisors are the people you can count on for financial strategies that help support a life you love. Because the key to being rich is knowing what counts. Learn more about our comprehensive approach to planning at edwardjones.com/findyourrich. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
The Department of Justice's antitrust chief appearing on Squawk Box this morning following a more than 4% drop in Apple shares yesterday. Steve Kovac is with us. He has more on that and, of course, what the DOJ, in fact, this is interesting, Steve, what they may have gotten wrong in that lawsuit that, of course, brought about that significant fall in Apple shares?
Yeah, just some interesting stuff in the lawsuit. But first, of course, that fallout from the DOJ's broad antitrust lawsuit against Apple caused shares to plummet 4% yesterday, wiping out more than $100 billion in market value from Apple. DOJ's top antitrust official, Jonathan Kanner, had a message for Apple investors in an interview this morning on Squawk Box.
So my message to shareholders is encourage companies that you invest in to compete on the merits. Competition on the merits is good for everybody. It's good for businesses. It's good for consumers. It's good for the economy. And so ultimately, that is what this lawsuit is about. It's about making the market more competitive so that people can pay lower prices, including for their iPhones.
So there's the investor angle. And look, we spent a lot of time yesterday talking about the DOJ side of the argument, but it's worth pointing out now some of the, let's call them funky allegations in this lawsuit as well. Some examples among many, DOJ alleges CarPlay gives Apple leverage over automakers by forcing them to give Apple access to key systems in the vehicle. That's not entirely true or how CarPlay works. Also says Apple, quote, affects the flow of speech through its Apple TV Plus service. Don't tell that to Ted Lasso. And some irony here, asking Apple to open up its platform so other tech giants, that includes companies like Google that the DOJ has already sued twice, in fact, for antitrust. Those have a greater advantage under this lawsuit if it goes the DOJ's way. But none of this is to say the DOJ case is without merit. And the overarching argument that's going to be played out, guys, is going to be decided when this goes to trial. Are Apple's practices designed to make the customer experience as good as possible, or are those choices just designed to stifle out competitors, guys?
So what kind of fight is Apple bracing for here, Steve?
A big one. They are trying to protect everything that they possibly can here. But what I was pointing out here, stuff like that they mention in this lawsuit, like CarPlay and things like that, it's almost like a fundamental misunderstanding of how some of these products and services from Apple work. They do have some interesting points about the behavior of Apple with things like messaging. And of course, the App Store rules are under high scrutiny, not just here across the world, but there are more questions also that get raised about this, Sarah.
Yeah, I mean, the wallet and the watch, yeah. That was part of it. We were talking with the Connecticut Attorney General. I didn't quite follow all of it, frankly, Steve.
Yeah, and the theory there is like, okay, so the wallet is one thing, but let's talk about the watch and other hardware accessories. The idea is if we make the third-party watches or third-party Bluetooth headsets that aren't AirPods kind of less capable, that keeps people wrapped into the iPhone ecosystem, and therefore, when they're ready to upgrade their phone, they stick with the iPhone. And by the way, those phones are getting more and more expensive as the years go on. That's kind of the overarching argument from the Department of Justice, David.
Steve, thank you.
Yep.
It's going to be quite a few years of covering this for you, Steve.
Indeed.
Kovac. The DOJ suit against Apple just won in a number of regulatory battles that big technology companies certainly are faced with. FTC, for example, Amazon and Meta, DOJ and Google, or against Google. One mega cap, though, that at least right now has seemed to dodge some scrutiny, Microsoft. Deirdre Bosa digs into that for today's Tech Check D.
Hey, good morning, David. So that divide you just explained could not be more clear this week. Apple was hit with that giant antitrust lawsuit you guys were just talking about, all while Microsoft seemingly outsmarted regulators by poaching Inflection's top talent without buying the company. Now, CNBC has learned that that deal includes a $650 million licensing fee to Inflection, and that, according to the information, helps provide investors with a modest return on their capital. Of course, there's also Microsoft's cumulative $13 billion investment into OpenAI, Satya Nadella telling board members back in November, quote, if OpenAI disappeared tomorrow, we have all the IP rights and all the capability. We have the people, he says. We have the compute. We have the data. We have everything. We are below them, above them, and around them. Quite the deal. Now, regulators have indicated that they are looking into it, but it's not nearly far along as the other lawsuits that you mentioned against the other megacaps. And so the others, they're not being nearly as bold as Nadella. Whether they can't or whether they won't, that's still an open question. Regulators, they're already scrutinizing their businesses. And in Google's case, it's past decade of acquisitions to reach the dominance they now have in search. Microsoft also has more experience battling regulators that could be giving it an edge in this new era. Their secret weapon, Brad Smith. He played a significant role in the antitrust battles of the late 90s and early 2000s. Alphabet is trying to make Ruth Porat that person for them, announcing last July that she would move into a similar president role, communicating more with Washington. But it's been nearly 8 months. She is still in the CFO role. At Apple, that person is yet to emerge. So that'll be interesting to watch. And the stakes are only rising here. Access to the most highly coveted AI technology and talent, that could play a big part in deciding the winners and losers of this AI era. The other piece, guys, that's very interesting, and I wonder if it could come into play, is the Elon Musk of it all. The emails that OpenAI published about a month ago that showed his anxiety about how dominant a force Google was in the early days of Gen AI. If you remember, he was like, maybe there's a less than 1% chance that OpenAI could compete with Google, and it has. So it could go either way. The regulators could look at that and say, okay, capitalism has done its job. OpenAI has become a force, or they can just show how Google's able to reach this dominance with their distribution, their reach.
Yeah, I mean, which also puts into perspective the news earlier this week that we've yet to see any announcement on about Gemini being used by Apple, potentially as its AI platform on the generative AI platform on the iPhone. It's funny, Dee, you know, just to get back to Alphabet, because we've had the conversation, I thought a very good one, and you've been reporting on it, the sort of question as to their monopoly in search at Alphabet and whether it was under siege. Although I did note the stock has had a very good week, has Alphabet shares, including even today, as people seem to be sort of continuing to debate that, but wondering, to your point, whether they will actually ultimately prove that they can compete when it comes to this new world.
You know, they're doing everything they can. And remember, the week started off with that report that Apple would use Gemini to power some of the AI features on its phone. So again, this race is so up and down. And at least this week, Alphabet has the advantage because a company like Alphabet or Apple, with its installed base, could be using Gemini and distributing that. But next week could be very different. I was at GTC this week, David and Sarah, and I was at that talk with the 8 seminal authors on that Transformer paper, which really just set the groundwork for this era of generative AI that we're in. They all came from Google. And they were asked by Jensen Huang himself, why did you leave Google to go start your own companies that are now sort of darlings in the Gen AI space? And they just said, essentially, they didn't ship stuff at Google. And generative AI needs to be tested in the real world. And that is sort of maybe the pain point here. How quickly does Alphabet want to move? How quickly is it willing to disrupt its existing business or not? And that's going to be key going forward.
That's a really interesting insight, Deirdre. Thank you very much, Deirdre Bosa.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.